CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to another CoOptiCast. Today is January 11th, 2009. And it's a new year of co-op gaming here on the CoOptiCast and CoOptimus.com. I am excited. How about you, Mike?
I am absolutely stoked for what this year has in store for us.
Indeed, and that's actually going to be the topic of this podcast. We're going to talk about the games of 2009 that feature co-op, and it's going to be tough to top 2008, which featured games like Gears of War 2, Resistance 2, Fable 2, a lot of games with 2s in it, apparently.
Yeah, 2s and 4s.
2s and 4s. So that's this year should be the year of the odd number, I guess.
Hopefully.
A few 5s. Maybe a 3 or so.
How about some 1s, you know, maybe some original IPs out there.
Yeah, I'd like that for sure. So, I've been playing a few games, though. Haven't been playing much co-op myself. The only co-op game that I recently played is the recently released Xbox Live Arcade game Interpol on the Trail of Dr. Chaos. Sounds exciting, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds like Carmen Sandiego or something, just because they use Interpol.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of like it. It's more like a Highlights for Children's magazine in Xbox Live form. It's actually kind of fun in that not really thinking, time-killing kind of way. It's just you're searching for objects on the screen in a mass of pointless objects. You know, you have like tennis rackets and shoes and wallets and keys, and they're like, find the cigar. And you're like, okay. All right, so now it's cool though in co-op. You can have up to 4 players on it, and everybody gets their own little magnifying glass to kind of find the objects. So me and the wife sat down and played that actually tonight for a bit. Other than that, I played some Shadowrun this weekend, which we were talking about before the show, I think is one of the most underrated multiplayer games of this generation.
And one of these days I'll try it out, I swear.
Yeah, you can pick it up for like $7 used at GameStop. So, I highly recommend it. Other than that, just been playing some Geometry Wars 2. I finally got the last achievement in that, so now it's just conquering the high score tables on my box.
Well, you easily conquered my high scores. Because I probably don't even show up in your list. I'm so far down.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't think I saw your name on it. So, other than that, I purchased the first Dawn of War on Steam in anticipation of Dawn of War 2, which comes out next month, one of the games we'll be discussing. So I played a few missions on that, and I'm really liking that.
Yeah, awesome, it's a fantastic game. RTS.
So what about you, Mike? What have you been playing?
Well, there's really only 2 games on my list right now because I've just been really busy. I started playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance because I passed on it a long time ago, and it's a game that is on pretty much every one of my friends' lists, and I like comic books, so I figured, you know, why the hell not? I'll try it out. And luckily you had a copy and said take it.
Yeah.
So I've been, you know, it's pretty brainless. You pretty much walk around and mash the A button, and you know, I don't think any other strategy has met with more success. So it's pretty cool. I often wonder why the X-Men are so concerned with breaking boxes.
Because there's coins in those boxes, Mike. There's coins in there.
Yeah, I guess they had a few too many Mario-inspired fever dreams and decided to go hunting for coins in random places. So it's pretty fun. It is kind of just a orgasm of Marvel characters all over the place, so it's fun. I like it.
Yeah, it doesn't require much thinking.
Not really, and you can make a superhero team of your favorite superheroes, or inexplicably, you're fighting against Dr. Doom, but you can put Dr. Doom in your party to start the game.
Yeah, well, there's actually an achievement when you face Dr. Doom if you have Dr. Doom in your party. and it's actually really cool how the game handles it. It actually works it into the story.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's called like the doppelganger achievement.
I got one for having Cyclops in my party when I saved Jean Grey.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I love you, baby. And she said, shut up. Oh, you gotta go save the world, and I gotta go sacrifice myself for some other BS.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. The other game I've been playing is a... We got our review copies of Lord of the Rings Conquest, which is, if you read our preview, the Star Wars Battlefront with Lord of the Rings slapped on top of it. But it's much more than that. It takes a lot of cues from things like a Dynasty Warriors without the iffy AI. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting title. Most of its legs are going to be in multiplayer because it's pretty obvious that that's where most of the polish went, is the competitive multiplayer. Because the campaigns, basically, they set out to follow the events of the Lord of the Rings, all the major battles, and you go participate in them, and you can be any one of four classes, and you play as kind of a normal grunt, and when the action reaches a fever pitch or certain story events are about to happen, you get the option to play as a hero, and you run around and have 10 times as many hit points, and your attacks are 10 times as powerful. So the troll that took, 5 minutes to take down without, contextual attacks now takes like a minute. Uh-huh. So it's interesting. I really like a lot of what they did with it, especially in the second half of the game, where they said they went to the Tolkien estate and said, hey, we want to do a what-if scenario starting at the point where Frodo's in Mount Doom. But when Frodo's in Mount Doom, the Nazgul come in and kill him, and you get the Ring of Power back, and you give it back to Sauron. And the rest of the evil campaign is you killing everyone in the Fellowship and destroying all of the peaceful races of Middle-earth and occupying their territories. And I'll just say that when my wife was watching me play this, she said that she felt really, really unsure of how she should feel about watching this happen, because it'll come up on the screen. It's like, okay, you got to be Sauron now, and you need to go kill Legolas and Elrond. And so you're fighting, and they have the movie license, so there's Orlando Bloom throwing arrows at you, and you can go in as Sauron and beat the living shit out of him.
Nice.
So in some aspects, that's probably a dream come true, and others maybe not so much. But the unfortunate downside is that because the focus is on the multiplayer, that the single player campaign is basically bot play on the multiplayer levels,
mm-hmm.
but with story injected into them, because you'll play like a Helm's Deep scenario in multiplayer, where one side will be the humans, one side will be the orcs, and you're basically capturing points in the map, battlefield style, to get to get control points,
mm-hmm.
or points, tickets, whatever the hell they call them in Battlefield. And so the two sides will go back and forth like that. And in the single player game, it's the same level and the same two armies fighting each other. And this time it'll be, you'll have to kill the sappers trying to take down the wall, or you'll fight a hero unit that shows up. So it's different enough, but the fact that it uses the same maps for it is a little jarring, I'd say. And it does kind of play like a multiplayer game, but on your own. The other thing about it is that the difficulty is still a little iffy. Mm-hmm. You can easily get corner trapped and juggled to death with no way to escape, especially if you're playing as a ranged class, because melee just wipes you out like nobody's business. So luckily they added co-op play into the single player campaigns. And co-op play is really fun. I had a really good time with one of the other people reviewing the game for a different site. We went in, and I was kind of stuck on a level, and he came in and helped me clear it out in co-op, and it was really fun. The team the classes work really well together. The interplay was there. He was an archer, and I was a mage for part of it, and we kept kind of... You can switch your classes at control points, so we'd kind of switch our classes up to meet whatever the level is demanding. But in addition to it being more fun, it also made it a lot easier. Almost too easy, because in a situation where you would die before, having the other player to pull your ass out of the fire, so to speak, really just negates the difficulty, especially since one of the characters, the character classes, the mage, has a healing spell. So, you know, he can run, you can get corner trapped as, say, a warrior or whatnot, you're being juggled. The mage can run in and do a shockwave attack that knocks everybody off of you and then heal you back to full life.
Yeah.
So, if anybody picks it up, if you were a fan of Battlefront, you're going to love the multiplayer, because it's, I hate to say more of the same, but in this case, it's a positive. It's a lot of, the classes are really well balanced against each other if you're playing multiplayer. It's this, the player versus environment is a little bit off. But the multiplayer modes are really fun. There's a, all your standard ones. There's the Conquest one, which is basically pulling together control points to get to earn points and outnumber your enemy. Or if you capture all the points, you win instantly. There's capture the ring, which is capture the flag. There's the hero death match, which was our favorite, because you pick your favorite hero from either side and basically run in and cause havoc. You know, I was having a particular amount of fun being Grima Wormtongue, who is a scout class, so I'd stealth up, throw a bomb at people from stealth, and backstab them for an instant kill. And we were playing kind of a mix of bot and human players, so you weren't sure which one was the actual player until they came out of stealth. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty fun that in that regard. Cool. But let's see. Yeah, you know, it's like I said, if you like Battlefront, you're gonna love this, and the co-op is fun. So I'm still working on the review for it, so you can look forward to that fairly soon and see what, you know, we actually give it. But I would definitely put this in the rent it if you're unsure, but if you know you like Battlefront, you know, I would say this is a worthy purchase category.
Yeah, you had mentioned that it's kind of like, in some sense, it's similar to the Two Towers and Return of the King game that was on the PlayStation 2. So would you say if someone was a fan of those games that they should probably pick this up?
It's kind of this. It's similar in that you fight through a lot of the same scenarios in much higher graphical fidelity. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing the game nails is the epic scale. Like, you'll be on the fields of Pelennor, and you know the two armies are all fighting against each other. And you know the one really impressive thing in this game, at least for me, was the non-combatant AI. Basically, your army will go and they'll fight off the other army, but the game is designed so if you're having to capture and hold a point, they will help you if you're doing it, but they won't do it themselves. But you can actually sit back and watch the AI fight off the opposing army and clear a path for you to get to your objective. And it kind of does a tug of war back and forth intelligently. So if you go into the game looking at it saying, you know, this looks kind of like Dynasty Warriors or something, it shares some similarities with that, but the AI is actually, it actually exists. It will do things. Sometimes it'll heal you, sometimes it'll back you up, but that seems kind of iffy, which is why co-op makes the game so much easier, because then you get the assistance from the other classes.
Excellent.
Yes.
So, that comes out this week. Next, probably by the
time. Yeah, that comes out this week.
Yeah, so by the time you listen to this, actually, it should be release day. Which kind of transitions nicely into our next segment, which is the co-op games of 2009. And actually, Lord of the Rings Conquest is the first game of 2009.
Hooray!
That we wanted to focus on. There were Saints Row 2 hit the PC. Interpol, The Trail of Dr. Chaos, which I mentioned, came out to Xbox Live Arcade. And that was about it that came out so far this year in terms of co-op games.
Nothing. This is definitely the first big release.
Yeah, it's the first big release of the year. So Like Mike said, we should have the review up either by the time you're listening to this or shortly after. So keep an eye out for that. So the next big game coming out in 2009 is one that we've been covering for a while on the site, and we kind of, it's always been kind of in a joking nature, but everything that I have heard about it has actually been positive, and that's the 50 Cent game, Blood on the Sand. And basically the way it's described is it's Gears of War meets, a rap
meets
game.
It's G-Unit.
Yeah. So, it features drop in, drop out, strong co-op based through the whole story. I just saw a press release come across today that said something like there's like 19 new songs written just for the game by 50 Cent.
Oh my God.
So it should be interesting. Like I said, I mean, I'm not a fan of his music per se, but, driving around the desert in a blinged out Cadillac, shooting your gat out the side at some terrorists. Okay, I could do that.
I heard an anecdote on, I forget which podcast I was listening to, but they were talking about this game, and apparently the vehicle missions exist in this game because 50 said, when I'm playing a shooter, I don't want to just be shooting all the time. I like to do other things, like drive a car. So yeah, they put a vehicle mission in the game.
I'm pretty you think I'm joking, but I'm pretty sure I saw a screenshot with a blinged out Cadillac driving around. So, it could be pretty cool as long as your buddy can co-op. He can lean out the window and fire off some shots too, unless they mount a machine gun on the top of the Cadillac. Sunroof, rims, machine gun, standard features,
right? So, slap some spinners on that bad boy.
Yeah. So that's next. I think we have it listed actually as the 19th, and I'm pretty sure they just changed that to the 17th of February. So a little bit farther in. The console versions of a game that me and you had played a bit this past year was Sacred 2 Fallen Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to hit the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 on February 10th. I'm looking forward to it because I really enjoyed the PC version. I don't know. I had a hard time just sitting down for long sessions. But for the most part, the biggest problem was getting into a game for us. Just seemed such a chore to, we had to fiddle with ports on our router, and we couldn't ever decide which cooperative mode we were actually supposed to choose. It was like open host and something, right? There's like two options, and we're like, which one do we really want?
There's open net and closed net.
Yeah, right. It didn't translate well from German or whatever they were trying to convey with those up menu options.
Yeah. Forward to the console versions because I want to see how they handle the control mapping, because on the PC I had to rearrange the entire thing to make a little more sense. Because mm-hmm. you could only have one active ability queued up at a time.
Yeah.
And, that would be mapped to your right mouse button. So having a hotkey around to trigger something to be active was a little cumbersome, because they actually mapped it all to the function keys instead of the number keys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the controls were a little weird. I really enjoyed the game, despite the little issues that we had with it. But
yeah,
I think it might be, especially with the way the camera controls, I think it might be a little more suited for a console hack and slash.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea how it's set up, but I would imagine that the one advantage console games always have, and like a thing where you have to choose a lot of something, is using a radial select menu on the screen to quick, it makes it a lot easier to quickly select those kind of things. And so I don't know if that's how they're going to do it, but if they do, I think they definitely nailed that. So we'll definitely be checking that out a couple weeks from now, and hopefully be bringing a review of that to the site. Another game coming out, which I have no idea what it's about, other than it's got a really cool title, and I'm going to murder it, but it's called One Chinabra Bikini Zombie Slayers. And
yes.
Yeah.
These guys had a marvelous poster back at PAX.
Yeah, I remember that. Apparently this is a TV show, or a, like, the One Shinobra series is like a anime something or other.
I'm sure it is.
But yeah, it's actually supposed to have like drop in and drop out co-op and all this
on
stuff.
On the Wii, no less. That's a that's quite a feat.
Yeah. So, well, you know, it could be like, I don't know if you read Mark's review of Call of Duty World at War for the Wii.
You know, the second player, you know,
cursor
just points to stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, look over there. Shoot that.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can have drop in, drop out, but you don't really, you're not really a player in the game or anything. So who knows? We'll have to start specifying that. Have that as an option in our database. Yes, drop in, drop out. No, you're not an actual player when you drop in.
The best part about that game is the player character is a Japanese girl in a bikini, Daisy Dukes, and a cowboy hat, but she carries a katana and slices through zombies.
I see that stuff every day, so I you know.
I know I don't live your life of wild hedonism, Nick, but to normal people, these things are exciting.
Yeah, no, I may have to check that out. So, and another game that just got recently announced, which really looks slick, it's called, and it, like I said to you when I heard, it's called the best name ever for a game, Eduardo the Samurai Toaster.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's certainly a name.
It's so full of wind, and it's this hand-drawn WiiWare game that features a four-player co-op where you control toasters, and apparently these toasters are samurais.
Why hasn't anybody made a game out of the Brave Little Toaster?
I don't know. But
I loved
sure,
it when
I'm
I was
sure
a kid.
Eduardo
I'm
can,
sure I would love it now.
Eduardo can possibly inspire that.
Perhaps.
With his toast flinging abilities and everything else he's going to do. So, yeah, that's a four-player co-op title coming to the WiiWare. It's looking pretty good. So we had bikinis and zombies, and we had samurais, and now we have zombies again in House of the Dead Overkill for the Wii, which is the first House of the Dead game that's not an arcade game. It's actually designed from the ground up for the Wii.
And it was developed by Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're basing the whole thing kind of on the grindhouse aesthetic, so it should be interesting, if nothing else.
Yeah, House of the Dead is always good for some mindless action and really, really horrible voice acting.
Yes.
So, I hope Overkill can continue that tradition. Next one on the list is a game called Zombie Wranglers. And I remember when we posted about this when it launched, or when it was supposed to launch back over Halloween.
Refresh my memory.
It's a very stylized game where I believe you like vacuum up zombies.
Uh-huh.
If I remember, it's kind of like a top-down shooter thing. You suck up various types of zombies instead of exploding them. You can play up to four players. Like I said, it was supposed to come out around Halloween last year, and it didn't. Like it actually, there was like a promotion on Xbox Live. And it said download Zombie Wranglers, and he clicked it, and it brought you to the game thing.
That's right.
Yeah, the download failed, and it never actually got released. And I actually had talked to one of the publishing company, Sierra, before they were completely assimilated by Activision about this, and they were kind of pissed because apparently this game is done. And it just hasn't been released.
Just sitting around.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I don't know when we're going to see that. We have the release date at February 24th. I don't know where I got that from when I put it in. It might have just been nothing. Just a holder. So another February release. February is a pretty busy month for co-op games.
Yep.
Yeah. Dawn of War 2.
Yay.
And like I said, I downloaded Dawn of War off Steam this past week and played a couple missions, and I'm really stoked for this. Full co-op through the entire game. There's kind of like this meta strategy game at the top where you can kind of pick where you want to launch your missions at and stuff with friends. And, you know, depending on what you do there, you get certain resources and benefits and items and leveling up characters and stuff. And then there's the whole RTS action kind of set piece, too, on the planets themselves.
Yeah, it's a kind of a it's kind of an expansion on the idea of the strategy base, the strategy campaign in the second expansion, Dark Crusade. Uh-huh. Which replaced it replaced the campaign of the original game with just a map, and you could go fight in different areas on it, and the campaign would adjust itself based on what you did there. So it sounds like they're basically taking that idea and making it a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it really looks cool. Like I said, it's just, I don't know, there's something about the Space Marines and stuff in the game. They just have so much character to them, and the grittiness, and it's just so brutal too. It's,
yeah, well, it's, you know, the Warhammer universe is a very, very rich and storied one, so they have a lot of, you know, if you played the tabletop game, you have an awful lot of backstory that you might be able to dig into to make certain aspects of this more fun. So
yeah, so Dawn of World War II coming out at the end of February. It's a Games for Windows Live title, so you can bet your bottom something that we're going to be having that as one of our Games for Windows Live nights when that comes out.
Definitely.
Then there's a tie-in game coming out for every platform known to man from Activision. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for Monster vs. Aliens.
I have.
Is that DreamWorks, I believe?
I don't remember. It just looked like schlock.
So, yeah, there's a tie-in game. And what I remember, it's not going to be kind of a full co-op kind of experience. Instead, the co-op player controls a cockroach who's actually a scientist or something like that and helps solve puzzles and stuff. So it sounds like it'll be a good family-friendly co-op game.
I'm sure.
That hits 360, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 2, Wii, and PC. And then, actually, when that comes out, the Japanese folk and the European folk will already be playing Halo Wars, but us here in America will be getting it a few days later.
What an odd decision.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever seen, besides, like, you know, a Japanese RPG or something like that, that's the first time I've seen any of those kind of releases go to the other regions first. I mean, it's Halo. That's like, it's like,
that's our baby.
Yeah. What are they doing? I don't know. So yeah, Halo Wars, March 3rd, 2009. They just announced the demo for that will be available February 5th, 2009. So that's a full month with a demo, which to me says they have a lot of confidence in it, right? Because a lot of times, if they're not sure how the reception is going to be for a game,
they'll hold the demo on release day.
Yeah, either release day or after release or whatever, right? But they're giving people a full month with it. I had played Halo Wars at E3 this past year, and I know I was really impressed. It's not a typical RTS in the sense that it's hard to describe. The control interface is completely out of the box. It goes back to what we were talking about actually a little bit earlier with radial menus do really well on consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And they take full advantage of a radial menu in this.
Well, my question to you would be, is it similar to how Red Alert handled it?
Not at all. Completely different.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you can select units on the screen without actually like using a cursor. Let's put it that way. It's just you won't have to be fighting pixels to make sure you're selecting the guys you want to select. They do this really cool thing with like this kind of like queued up thing at the bottom and the triggers, and I can't even describe how it works because it just works. It really does. And I
don't know what you're saying, but it sounds great.
Yeah. We just posted actually tonight some off-screen shaky cam footage from CES 2009. So I'm curious to hear some people's impressions that were there, what they think as well. Since it is a consumer show, so pretty much any schmuck can go in there, right? Right? CES is a consumer show.
It's open consumer to the public. Consumer electronics show.
Yeah, but I mean, it's open to the public, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, I think it is. So we should hear some impressions on that. And plus, February 5th is, what is it, 2 weeks from now? 3 weeks from now?
It's soon. Yeah, it's coming up.
So that's coming up. I'm anxious to get my hands on that.
RE5?
We'll do one more, and then I think we're gonna stop, and we're gonna finish the list then on our next podcast, because there are so many, and with our luck, in the next couple of weeks here, they'll be announcing more as well.
Hopefully,
but another big one, and this was a big surprise last year, and a good surprise, and that's Resident Evil 5, our odd numbered game of the year.
Yay! We love odd numbered games.
Full co-op through the entire game. You either play as Chris Redfield or
Shiva.
Yeah, Shiva. That's it. Every time I hear that name, though, I think of the chick from Mortal Kombat 3 with the you know, Goro's like girlfriend.
Yeah.
Wasn't that her name? Or was Shiva the one with the crazy hair?
Yeah, it was. I believe it was Shiva with two E's.
Anyway, so Resident Evil 5, full co-op through the whole thing, set in a... Not Africa Village. It's not Africa.
Is it not Africa? I thought it was Africa.
Are they actually saying
I'm pretty sure it's Africa. I'm pretty sure the website has Africa on it, and so does the box art.
I thought they were. I thought after all the stink that they tried to remove any direct correlation to actually where it was and be like... Anyway.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the box art has Africa on it.
Okay. It looks pretty good. There's been a lot of previews in the past 2 weeks. I think Capcom's been kind of doing a little bit of a touring event, which we didn't get invited to. You bastards.
It's not a good idea to insult them to try and get your way in. Did you see the that guy who was making the DS game?
Yeah.
Who did the 100-day sit-in but only made it 30 and then issued death threats against Nintendo and faked his own death?
Oh, no, I didn't see it ended with that. I knew about the 100-day thing. And
You know, this is getting off topic, but that guy, after 30 days, he started breaking down, and he had that webcam going.
Yeah.
And he just, like, tore apart his room and, like, threw everything on the floor and, like, broke his furniture. And for a while, the webcam was just a shot of him lying on the ground, kind of, like, rocking back and forth.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I had checked that, you know, like I said, I checked that out, and I looked at some of the screenshots of the game and some videos, and I was like, "What's the? I don't know. I don't see it. You know, it's not like didn't look anything special to me.
I don't know. It looked kind of like a adventure game based on, you know, love of Earthbound.
Yeah,
and I love Earthbound, so you know, I could relate to the guy. It's a good game.
Okay, so back on topic, Resident Evil 5, March 10th for the 360 and PlayStation 3. That's another big deal with this, is that it is coming out to the Xbox 360 the same time as the Sony platform. Yeah, so like I said, there was previews this past couple of weeks and been pretty favorable. A lot of people always complain with Resident Evil that the controls, you can't move and shoot at the same time, can't, you know, strafe and all this stuff. And apparently there is an alternate control scheme in it where it's a little bit more Gears of War like is actually what they've been saying.
Well, hopefully, because I'm one of those people that complains that a police officer or a, you know, in this case, a steroided out special agent can't, you know, take a step to the left or a step to the right when they have their gun drawn. It just seems pretty ridiculous to me. And especially, you know, this is, you know, getting back to Dead Space, you know, I think that the one thing that that game is going to leave is it's changed the game in terms of controls and survival horror. Like, you could argue that the game wasn't that scary or whatnot, but it was pretty much a survival horror game that empowered you to move and shoot and fight back in as many ways as possible and still manage to, you know, be tense.
Yeah, no, if they can mimic that that style of control in Resident Evil 5, I'll be happy. Because, yeah, I'm of the mindset, too, that the other Resident Evils are just a little too slow for my taste. But, yeah, there's about another, dozen games for the rest of the year. And, actually, I can think of a couple that we don't even have on the list yet, just because there's not a release date. So we'll be covering those in the next Co-Opticast, which will be 2 weeks from now, which is January 25th. Wow. That's almost the end of January.
Yeah, we're almost a month into the new year by the time we record again.
Crazy stuff. So that's about it for the Co-Opticast. This is episode 10. Number 10. Hooray.
Yay. I wish I had something prepared to say, but...
It was supposed to be, like, really cool and special, and then some stuff happened, and it wasn't as cool and special as we thought it was going to be.
But it's okay. We, you know, we do what we can, and we'll make it cool and special in the future, hopefully.
Definitely.
Wait, hold on. We're always cool and special. What were you trying to sell there?
Oh, there we go. This has been the Co-Opticast for January 11th, 2009. We are the official podcast of Co-Optimist.com. And thanks for listening.
Yep. See you next time.